Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. The thumbnail, the piece of writing that I put on the podcast when I upload it is right. We have got very exciting news for you this week. A brand new event in the calendar for 2026.
And we literally cannot wait to tell you about this.
This is honestly, yeah, we are so excited. This has been a long time in the making already. Lots and lots of planning. Lots and lots of money spent, shall we say. Probably won't go into that too much. But the Big Land Rover Fest, 11th and 12th of July, 2026. Get it in your diary now, because it is going to be like a Land Rover event you have never seen before.
We literally went, we scrapped the rule book, didn't we?
Yep.
Like, what does a Land Rover show look like and what do we want it to look like? And this is more festival than it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm trying to explain it already. But
we sort of sat down and we thought, well, what sort of stuff do we like? And we went, well, we like music and we like food and we like...
I can tell what sort of music you like by your shirt.
I thought you were going to say something else then.
Oh, but, I'll tell you what pies.
What like food do you like? All of it, actually. Yeah. But no, this is really, really, really exciting stuff. Two action-packed days. And as Steve, you've just mentioned... We're going after the festival feeling with this. So any type of camping equipment you've got, be that a roof tent, a fully converted camper, a ground tent, anything goes, turn up, enjoy the weekend. We have got the best music acts in the country booked for this weekend. It is going to be non-stop party vibes.
All afternoon and into the evening.
Yeah, both days.
Both days, Friday and Saturday. And there's stuff on Sunday as well.
Not only that, of course. We're going to have the Land Rover clubs that make the events what they are. They're going to be there showing off that what they're all about, talking to people. You can get involved.
A main arena.
Yes, of course, the main arena.
An off-road course.
On-site off-road course.
And yet we're going to build this.
We are. Steve and I are heading to... the event is going to be at Newbury Showground. We are heading there in early December. We've booked a digger. We've booked
a whole digger.
We've booked a big digger. We've booked a man who knows how to operate it, because that would be bad news if we're going to custom build an off-road course just for you.
And I've never been done before.
No. Family friendly. Bring the whole family. There's going to be loads of stuff for kids to do, loads of stuff for your other half to do if they're not into Land Rovers, you know. And we'll get onto that in a minute, because we've had quite an interesting email on that front. Dogs are welcome. Bring your dog along. It's going to be awesome. Do you think we'll have the dog show again, like we do at LRM Live?
If people want the dog show, we shall bring the dog show. We've got bushcraft.
Bushcraft. Cooking demos.
Silent disco.
Silent disco, yeah. So let's talk about the music acts that we've got booked for this.
Yeah, go on then.
So first up...
You're wearing a shirt ready
for
Friday.
I'm already dialed in.
You're already in your Friday night shirt.
I am dialed in. Luke Combs. UK tribute act. Absolutely amazing act. I don't know if you've seen him live, but he's awesome. And to go to one of his shows is normally about £30.
So, yeah, it is, yeah. To buy a ticket to one of his gigs, because he tours.
Yeah, he's booked up.
He's touring and stopping by Newbury to give us a gig on Friday night.
Exactly, yeah. That. We've snagged him early. He's on the cards.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
So, awesome value. Tickets are live on the website now, but keep an eye on YouTube and our socials and everything like that, because we're going to be releasing a lot more information about this as it gets a bit closer. The weekend is the 11th and 12th of July, 2026. So for crying out loud, get it in your diary now. It's going to be awesome. Live podcast.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make a live... Sam and Sofa will make an appearance on stage.
Sam and Sofa debuted at Billing last year. Yeah. This year, in fact.
This year, yeah.
We'll be coming back, touring. It will be at LRM Live in May and at the Big Land Rover Fest in July.
Yeah, it will. We've got a Land Rover based DJ as well.
Yes, yes. So Luke Combs, DJ. Then Saturday night, 90s versus 2000s, dance music. I am buzzing.
It is the dream. Right, so we've written, I think, designed the dream Land Rover show for everybody.
I reckon so, yeah.
And there's still going to be the classic Land Rover displays and all of the good stuff,
mm-hmm.
but something for everybody.
Absolutely.
Really, really stoked for this one.
No parking fee.
What? Free parking?
Free. I know, it's unprecedented in this day and age.
We're not going to charge people
thought,
to
do you know
park?
What? We're not going to charge you to park at the show that you've
amazing.
Driven to. I know, it's quite a concept, really.
Can't believe it. That, Are we missing a trick?
I told you we were ripping up the rule book.
Who said the charging for parking was in the rule book?
Well,
yeah, anyway. We're not gonna, enough said about that, the better.
We're not going to dwell on that, but no, seriously, it's going to be an absolutely awesome weekend. And yeah, great follow-up to, of course, LRM Live in May, which has already proven to be a fantastic success. Loads of great classic stuff there. Dunsfold.
Relaxing, yeah. Malvern Hills.
Yeah, yeah, really nice backdrop. But this event in July, we're going, you know, all out for the festival.
It's going to be a bit more noisy.
Yeah.
Action-packed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So don't miss out. Book them both.
Mate, you sold it to me. I'm coming.
I've sold it to myself. I'm absolutely, honestly, I cannot tell you how excited I am. It's going to be so good. Yeah, keep an eye on our socials, in the magazine, and of course on YouTube, because we'll be dropping teasers as we get closer.
And we'll drop some more updates on here.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. As soon as we know, you'll know. But no, it's shaping up already to be absolutely fantastic. I'm all... Can we call it a day now? I'm all like, I feel like I've spent all my energy or being excited about the event.
Do you reckon the podcast is now over?
Is that like 10 minutes is okay, isn't it? Or however long we've been banging on about this?
Yeah, go on then.
No, okay. I'm only messing. We've had an email and it turns out we're not in the good books.
What have we done now?
Well, Rick Hatfield has emailed. Rick Hadfield, sorry. He's in Canada. He says, "Hello, Martin and Steve. Thank you for producing such a great show. I love the banter between you and Steve. Please keep up the good ribbing of Steve and his unfinished Land Rover." Well, there's absolutely no way I'm backing off on that.
Please don't.
He says, "I stumbled on your podcast a few months ago, and thanks to you both, I've caught the bug and I've bought a 1998 Discovery 1 and a 2004 Disco 2. I think my wife wants to kill both of you." I mean, yeah, I kind of get that.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Sorry about that, Rick's wife, but... He's one of us now.
Well, he's only one Land Rover short of the perfect mix.
He is.
He actually needs a third.
By the sounds of it, if he's only taking this long to buy two, he's not going to be far off.
So, email us back when you bought a Defender.
Yeah.
As well, just for the hat trick.
Or a series. He says, "I'm in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and I'm a permanent listener to your show and a subscriber to the magazine." Thank you very much, Rick. Cheers for the support. Great to have you on board. He has a question, though. He says, "How do I deal with the electrolysis on my Discovery 1's body? Do I sand it back and treat it like regular vehicle metal?" Because he's never dealt with aluminium panels before. "Thanks for a great show. Cheers from a Canadian friend, Richard Hadfield." Well, great to have you along. And in answer to your question, I have it on good authority from a friend who does body work for a trade. The best way to do it is to sand it back as far as you can so that it's all nice and smooth and flat. Give it a very, very thin skim of chemical metal. And then skim over it again with filler. Knock it all back so it's smooth and then paint it. And apparently that will stop it coming back.
Okay. Is a chemical metal not a dissimilar metal?
Well, I guess it's like sintered, isn't it? It's made
weird
up of
stuff.
Lots of like...
Chemical metal is weird.
It is. It's kind of like a real... It's kind of like body filler, I suppose, in its
makeup. But
very
hardened.
But
yeah.
But apparently that's what you use and it does keep things... happy long term. So yeah, skim of chemical metal, skim of traditional filler, prime it, rub it back, paint it.
Yeah,
there you go.
And then buy a series or a Defender to make three perfect Land Rovers.
Exactly. Join the trifecta club. But we're not the only Rick and his wife aren't the only people we've had a bad influence on. Richard Hawkins also emailed. He says, "Hi guys, I went to my first spares day at Malvern just to see what it was like. Took my mum for a day trip from Newton Abbott in his Discovery 2. Got in as soon as it opened, walked around and was amazed at how many parts were on offer. He didn't actually need anything, so he had a good old wander around, but it was getting a bit cold for his mum. So he came away thinking about joining Glass to do a bit of green laning." So
good man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good choice. Yeah.
Because the great thing about the auto jumbles is, yeah, there's loads of great stuff for sale, and you know, there's always new stuff depending on which auto jumble you actually go to. But obviously, because of the people that are there, there's loads of great Land Rovers as well. So it's kind of, you know, good to go along to get a bit of inspiration, have a coffee, have a bacon roll, and just chill out. I think that's what quite a few people actually go there for, the social aspect.
It's
the
social aspect, yeah,
definitely. So he's saying the D2 is a little bit too good, a little bit too tidy for green laning because he's worried about scratches. So he wants to buy a Series 3. He's got a Disco 2, which he mentioned, a Renault and four motorbikes, man after your own heart. and him and his wife have got a mini each, so they live in on a normal housing estate. Parking's a bit of a nightmare. So this is the problem that going to an auto jumble's given him. He's got now plans for too many vehicles, not enough parking. It's one of those, isn't it? It's the project triangle, space, time and money.
Yeah, always the way.
Space is what he's struggling with by the sounds of it. But he says, another good podcast. Many thanks for the problem you've given me, Richard from Devon.
I would say sell the Renault.
Yeah, get that gone. Get your missus, get your other half's Mini gone as well, and just buy another Land Rover.
Yeah, simple as.
There's not a problem then,
is it? All motorbikes won't be in the street. They'll obviously be, well, I presume they're not in the street.
I would assume so too. Yeah, I think we've solved your problem there.
Four motorbikes takes up probably the same amount of space as one Land Rover.
One Land Rover, yeah. Just
to sell them as well.
Thin the herd out a little bit and just...
buy the Land Rover.
Buy the Land Rover.
Come back to Malvern and buy the bits.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, Newbury. Or
you know,
in fact,
you know, our consumer advice is always just buy more Land Rovers.
Well, rightly so, if you ask me.
Which, incidentally, I'm going down a slippery slope myself.
Why?
Well, I keep looking at L32s. Since Adam came in last week.
Yeah, I know.
And I sat in his. You know, that very night, I actually had a passenger ride in another L322.
Oh, yes.
Unexpected. So I dropped it off my Jag to be sold.
Mm.
And the guy who I dropped it off with runs and drives an L322 as a daily.
Good man.
So he gave me a lift out in this L322. Oh, what a thing.
A thing of beauty. They are great.
I mean, it was dark, but when you're in it, oh.
The interior is just fantastic.
It didn't break down in 1 mile.
Well, that's so it's good perfect. To know. Yeah.
Reliable one, yeah.
You're not the only person who thinks L322s are great, as the Anglia Classic Car Auction Dick has shown us. I didn't actually go in the end. I was busy, but I went for a skim back through the catalogue afterwards to see what things had sold for. And the, as to coin a phrase, Clarkson spec, L322, 2005 one, 4.4 petrol, which had an estimate of between £4,000 and £6,000. Sold, in fact, for 11,556 of your English pounds.
That is madness, isn't
That's
it?
That's double the estimate.
Is it because it's Tonga Green Clarkson spec?
Well, the thing is, it's a petrol V8, which is already going to be limited appeal because of the fuel consumption.
Yeah, I mean, who's buying that?
I thought, oh, maybe it's done like no miles. No, 144,000 miles on the clock. It's had some quite expensive rust repairs and it's had a wheel refurb.
It's had welding, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's had £4,350 worth of sill and arch repairs in 2019.
It's not a Clarkson spec, it's a Clarkson tax.
Well, yeah, I think so. If you've
isn't
got,
it?
If you've got a Tonga or a Galway Green L322, then you're in, your quid's in. Keep hold of it, because people clearly want them.
Yeah, yeah.
There were
I know where there's one coming up very soon.
Is that? Oh, yeah, go on.
Yeah.
That's a bit of you. You should buy that.
Hmm. I don't know which engine it's got. It's definitely diesel.
Do you know what year it is?
No. But I tell you what, it's a podcast exclusive. If I get the details, I'll unveil it here, because it will be coming up for sale very soon.
There you go.
It is Tonga Green.
If it's Tonga, it's probably a TDV8 3.6. That's that era.
Quite possibly. It hasn't got any tints on the windows.
Oh, nice, yeah.
It's
clear
proper,
glass spec.
Yeah, clear glass spec.
Very nice, too.
I'll let you know.
Wasn't the only Land Rover that sold at ACA. 1976 Series 3 109 station wagon went for 5.6, which is a little bit above estimate, but not wildly above estimate. The one that confused me a little bit was there's a really nice P38 Westminster. V8.
So it's the one that you thought was a Bordeaux?
No, different one. Okay. I got confused. But this Westminster is really nice. It's a grey one, as I think the majority of Westminsters were. Only made £1,200. But there was another, I think it was a DSE. I'm scrolling frantically trying to find the listing, but there was so many lots in that auction over the weekend that it's taken a bit of doing. But this diesel one, which in my humble opinion, didn't have anything particularly special about it. It wasn't a, like I say, a Westminster or a Bordeaux or any other kind of special edition. Made 3.5.
Okay.
I'd have a petrol Westminster any day of the week, thank you very much. But there you go. No accounting for taste.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, the values are just all over the place. But I've noticed that not much is selling for very much in most cases.
It is a tricky one at the moment. That 1996 original TDI 90, like the one with the Ifor Williams pig pen on the back, made 7992, which is sort of middle in the middle of the estimate. I think that's probably about right, to be fair. Series 2A, 1968, 8.5. That's quite strong.
That is strong money.
Estimates between 5 and 6. Got the spider eyes, so it's got the...
We said about this. This make its mind up. Yeah. What we said that these would sell for.
I was going to look it up, but then I ran out of time. Yeah, sorry, I'm a failure as a podcast host.
Well, anyone that's listened will know whether we're right or wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we know what we're talking about or not?
Hopefully you were taking notes. Because
the thing is, it only takes two people to want something at an auction. And they get auction fever, and it doesn't take much to go over and above what it's worth.
It really doesn't, no. And I think that must have been the case of that diesel one, because I just don't see.
But P38s are picking up pace at auction.
They really are.
Well, you know about another one, don't you?
I do. I'm not going to say too much about that because Tom Barnard's going to write about that in one of his market news columns in the magazine, because he had a hand in that.
You had a little cheeky bid on one.
I did have a little cheeky bid on one.
You didn't bid enough because it's not with you now.
Nowhere near enough, it turns out.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. The limited editions, the special editions, are doing really well, and even like good condition standard cars that haven't done a billion miles and don't have all the panels falling off.
Well, 2 or 3 years ago, the limited edition stuff wasn't on people's radars like it is now.
No, you're right.
All of a sudden, it seems that everyone's looking for those special ones.
The last classic auction I went to in person, there was an absolutely hanging Holland & Holland P38, which is obviously a very rare car, but it was like it needed a lot of work, and quite a lot of the rare stuff was either damaged or didn't appear to be with it. And that made... like that was very, very strong money. But 2015 Defender 90 hardtop TDCI of estimate of 20 to 25 went for 28.
Yeah, so I said I think that will be towards the upper end of its estimate, I seem to recall me saying.
Yeah, and actually it's only done 40,000 miles, so I think someone probably got quite a good deal on that, because I dare say if they advertised that elsewhere, they'd probably get a little bit more.
I also know where there is going to be another 90 very similar to that coming up for sale.
Your green one?
No, not mine. No, TDCI 2015 with 34 or 39,000 miles. One of the two. Around that mileage. Under 40,000 miles.
Investment grade.
Mm.
There's that diesel one. Look, 2000 Range Rover 2.5 DSE Auto. Estimate of 4 to 6. So it was within, it was just below estimate, 3, 4, 5, 6. But the Westminster was the one for me, and that only made £1,200. But there you go. Who knows?
Who knows? Well, of course... Well, when you'll listen to this, I'll have already been to the iconic auction.
Indeed. By the time you listen to this, Steve will have been to and returned from the NEC Classic Car Show.
I'm interested to know what the other Tonga Green one that's in the auction.
Well,
the Queen's one.
If that one's anything to go by, it will go for...
a strong...
It'll be all the money. But there's lots of other stuff to see at that NEC Classic Car Show, isn't there?
There is. I can't wait to go. Which I've already been by the time you listen.
Yeah.
I'm glad I went. There you go.
Yeah.
It's an amazing show.
No, it is normally very good. I think I went last year.
And you
it
did,
was
yeah.
like Project J were there and Series 2 Club. It's a really good... Well, A, it's absolutely enormous, but there's so much different stuff. It's obviously not all Land Rovers.
A lot of people complain it's a lot of money to get in.
Well, do you know what?
But there's a lot of people that still go.
You do have to pay for parking, which you won't have to do at any of our shows.
I think you might have mentioned that.
Yeah, no, I don't like to, I don't like to dwell on it, but it does stick in my craw, Steve.
I know.
And what's new in your world then?
I picked up some more painted hearts.
Wow.
I just keep picking up
this
parts.
Is like a weekly occurrence.
Yeah, well, he likes the bits and dribs and drabs. So I've now got a fully painted seat box.
Yes, I've seen pictures. It looks very smart.
He's done an amazing job on the seat box. But again, he was spraying a brand new YRM seat box.
Mm.
So he's not had to do any sort of prep work apart from sort of...
So the tub is yet to go. Your wings, wings and bonnet.
Yes. Well, you know, I bought those other wings. Here's a question for you, actually.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now, I went into the shed yesterday. I'm going to dismantle one of my wings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made up of obviously three sections, aren't they? Well, four, really.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got your wing top.
Yeah.
Your side wing.
Yeah.
Your front panel where the headlight goes.
Yes.
And then you've got that other bit, haven't you? The structural bit that would bolt to the chassis, domain.
Yeah, inner wing.
Not the inner wing. Not the actual main inner wing.
Oh,
side bit. So you can buy replacement headlight front panels then, can't you?
Yes. And outers.
the outer wing, and you can buy new wing tops.
Mm-hmm.
SP4x4 have just launched new wing tops, actually.
Oh, right.
Slightly thicker aluminium than normal.
So when you lean on them once, yeah, they don't cave in.
Yeah, they're a lot stronger. But then you've got the other part that's the structural part.
Yes, I do know the bit you mean. Yeah, that's like a...
You can't buy that replacement part.
Really?
No, no one manufactures that.
Oh.
So anyway, to cut long story short, I went to unbolt my outer wings last night from the wing top.
Yeah.
How on earth do you get a spanner on under over that lip?
It's not easy, but you can do it.
How?
You use either a ring spanner, like an offset ring spanner, and you carefully get it in there, or an open-ended one.
An open-ended will not go on there.
Well, I can't remember what I've
used. Because the way that the lip, the contour of the top of the outer wing is curved.
Yeah, so, I know. Access is rubbish.
And they're all seized up, obviously, can you imagine?
Well, you may remember when we took your wings apart.
Yeah, but you did that with an angle grinder.
Yeah, I did do it with an angle grinder.
You did? Mm. You can't do that with an angle grinder in many cases here because you can't get it in. There's a whole row of them, and I've got to dismantle the front because I'm making a pair of wings out of four wings at the moment.
Got you. Okay. Yeah,
Anyway, you can't get a spanner one. I haven't got a spanner that fits any amount of trying.
You need to go shopping then.
I need one of those angled ones. I don't have them.
I didn't put them together with magic.
Seems I did.
No, they wouldn't have done. You just need to expand your...
I haven't got any room for any more tools.
Library of spanners.
I need one of those, what do you call it, offset rings?
Yeah,
spanner.
Like a cranked one.
Yeah, a cranked one. I haven't even got one I can bend to make one.
I'll have a look at home and see what I've got.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
I had a tool-related conundrum myself, actually. I was in the shed last night because I'm getting that 200 TDI ready to go into my 110. And one of the things you do to a, or you can do to a 200 TDI to make it fit a little bit nicer if you're using a Discovery engine is clock the compressor side of the turbo, basically to make it point in a different direction, because a standard one points right at the inner wing and then your silicon bend that comes off the turbo squashes up against the wing and it looks terrible.
Okay.
That's not for me. So by removing the compressor side, which is the silver bit of the turbo, if you like, where your air filter goes into.
Oh, right, yeah.
You drill and tap two new holes for the actuator, which controls your wastegate, to limit the boost pressure, and then you refit it, and then basically you put the silver bit back on at a different angle so that the pipe runs a lot neater. And it's altogether a more neat installation.
Yeah, more OEM.
If anyone's ever removed the circlip that holds a turbo compressor side onto the turbo core, they will know that you need some big circlip pliers.
So what did you use?
Well, I own some big circlip pliers, but they're not at my house. They're at my unit, and that's miles away, so I wasn't going to go and get them. So instead, I used some small circlip pliers and a lot of swearing and a lot of patience. But I did overcome. Getting it apart was a big enough challenge in itself.
Mm.
Putting it back together, let me tell you, almost impossible.
Not a job for my temperament then.
No. I did eventually do it with a pair of quick clamps to hold the housing in place where I wanted it. And then just struggled with the circlip pliers for what felt like forever until it eventually snapped back into place and I was able to put it back together, ready to... Yeah, bolt to the engine and then fit to the 110. Because I've been doing oil leak proofing, if you like. Because obviously the reason I'm taking the 14J out is because it absolutely lags oil out the back.
Oh, yeah, that was horrendous. Yeah.
It is.
You can see we've parked in the car park here.
Can you?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Have you noticed I was parking the same space when I'm in my Land Rover?
To cover up the stains.
No, not to cover them up, just so you don't put oil everywhere. Oh. Mine only leaks. Mine leaks from somewhere.
Probably rocker cover gasket, I'd have thought. I seem to remember we changed that. No, we didn't. No, no, you told you it was leaking and you've done nothing about it. That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember.
I'm sure I've put a new gasket on the rocker cover on that.
Well, TD5 only, you probably have. But
That's where the wiring runs, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the wire. The injector loom is in the top of the head.
Yeah, I've changed that.
Oh, right, okay.
I might have used the original gasket.
Oh, Stephen. You need to order another gasket.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's wrong if it was leaking, yes.
Well, okay. Another job then.
Incidentally, on a TD5, if you're replacing the rocker cover gasket or if you're replacing the injector loom in the top of the cylinder head, always put a little dot of silicon sealant either side of the half moon.
I actually did do that.
Okay. Well, it's still leaking, isn't it, Steve?
Yes. Okay. You'll enjoy looking at that.
Oh, will I? Yeah. But the 200 TDI, right? And I think the same applies to the 2.5 non-turbo, the 19J turbo diesel, and possibly the 300 TDI has a slightly different oil rear main housing at the back. But you've got a few different leak points to take care of, and I've been doing my best to make sure that all the oil stays firmly in the engine.
Good place for it to be.
Well, I like it to be in the engine. So on a 200 TDI, you've obviously got your metal sump, your pressed steel sump that bolts onto the bottom of the engine.
Yeah.
You've got a ladder frame, which is like an aluminium piece that bolts to the bottom of the steel engine block.
What's that for?
Apparently it's a stiffener. It's like strengthens it. Oh, okay. But that has to seal to the bottom of the steel engine block.
So that's two leak points.
So you've
points
got
then.
Two leak points already.
Yeah.
Leak point number three is where the flywheel bolts to the crankshaft. You've got bolt holes, obviously, for the bolts to go in, but they go all the way through into the crankcase. So if the bolts don't have sealant or thread lock on them, or thread sealer,
it'll just come up the bolt and through the end.
Exactly, which is what had been happening.
So that's another six. How many bolts are there?
Yeah, six.
Six, that's
pretty
another
sure there's six.
Yeah.
And then you've got the rear main oil seal itself.
Those bolts, if you
Hang on, no, I missed one. You've got the T-seals, which...
Oh, I saw you doing that. I didn't know really what they were.
I put it on Instagram. So the bearing cap for the rearmost crankshaft journal, where the crankshaft spins in the engine block.
Yep.
It's clamped in. It's obviously, it rides on bearings. And the rearmost one has these things, stupid rubber things called T-seals, which keep the oil, supposedly, in the crankcase and stop it coming out the back of the join where the bearing cap
goes. So they
deteriorate
with age?
They harden with age.
Harden, yeah.
But they're almost impossible to fit without damaging them.
Okay.
So what I've learned from numerous places, I think Ben at Motor and Diesel showed me first, but I've also seen it on Britannica Restorations on YouTube, very, very good channel. You basically don't bother with the T-seals and you clean everything to within an inch of its life and then you inject it with a decent quality RTV silicon sealant.
You take the T-seals out?
Yeah, you don't bother with them.
Right.
You fit the bearing cap and then you squirt sealant down into where the T-seal would be and you keep, you know, injecting it in and pushing it in with your thumb until it pokes out both sides of the...
Just making its own...
Yeah, you're essentially replacing the rubber with silicon, which obviously does a far better job and it properly sticks to all the surfaces and hopefully it will keep the oil in place. So that's T-seals, flywheel bolts.
Have you siliconed yours?
Yeah.
You've done that conversion now?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So hopefully I'll never have to remove that rear main bearing.
Yeah, I was going to say, there must be like a negative to this.
Yeah, it's hot.
More permanent.
It's sort of stuck the bearing cap in, and also if you do have to take it off, it'll be a mess. It'd be a bit tricky to clean it up. But I think given how much more efficient it is to use that than wreck T-seals, putting them in, and then probably still have it weep.
Is that the same for 300 TDI?
Yeah.
So 300.
Pretty sure it is. I think Ben showed me it on a 300 TDI.
Right, okay.
Been a long time since I.
This is proper old school, isn't it? Like,
it's just the little tips and tricks you pick up from people who have been doing it for a long time. Like the thing about, obviously, I was a technical editor on LRA for 7 years, but I know a little bit about a lot of different things. I haven't like specialised in one.
I'm yet
one.
To find out what that is. Because
me too. Sometimes, but you feel like. If you specialise, like I've been to visit John Eales before. They do V8s.
Of course.
Absolute legends in the V8, Rover V8 building tuning scene. They live and breathe Rover V8s. It's all they do day in, day out. And I have so much admiration for someone who's that specialised in one thing.
Focus on one thing. Yeah, perfect. It's a bit like Ashcroft and gearboxes.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Exactly that. They can improve things because they see the same problem occurring.
Yeah, and finding fixes for those issues and you know, passing that information on is, you know, brilliant. So I've really enjoyed sort of having the TDI. I haven't completely stripped it, obviously, but I feel like I'm really making progress with addressing all these little problems that are known to be problems, and now I can tick them off. And hopefully, when it's fitted, it will give me many years of loyal service.
You've just got to keep it for many years to find out if it's worked.
Yeah, so T-seals are fixed.
Yeah.
Flywheel bolts will go in with thread sealer. Ladder frame will go on with the correct sealant, because that is a special sealant, apparently, because it's such a fine machined surface. And then the sump pan will go on with standard RTV as well. And that's the back of the engine taken care of. And then I'm going to start on the front doing the timing belt and the water pump.
Probably
will do P-gasket, yeah.
Head gaskets?
No, can't really be bothered to take the head off. I put it on Instagram and everyone told me to just clean it up and fit it.
I think I might have been one of them. But now you're there. You're involved. You're enjoying the process.
I really am, yeah. And I was adamant that it wouldn't leak when I put it in. So that's the main thing.
I really hate it when Land Rovers leak oil. Because everyone goes, oh, it's a Land Rover, of course it'll leak. It doesn't have to, does it?
No.
It can run out at some point.
It can run out, yeah. But there's so many different elements. The problem with Land Rovers leaking is, if you look at them objectively, there's the same number of components as any other four-wheel drive vehicle.
Mm.
Your front and rear axles, your transfer box, your gearbox, your engine, pretty much. I think this sort of air of forgiveness that people have given them over the years. Oh, you know, it's not leaking, it's sweating power, or it's marking its territory.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it shouldn't leak. You can't stop them from leaking. My Series 3 doesn't leak, really. It's got a very small dribble from the transfer box, which is just the lower cover plate. But other than that, it doesn't leak.
No, they don't need to leak all the time, do they?
I don't have a major
leak on mine.
No. You wouldn't have a leak at all if you'd changed that rocker cover gasket when you did the injector loom, but we won't go there, Steve.
I'd best get on to somebody and get a gasket.
Get yourself a nice gasket. Two different types, and make sure you order the right one.
What, for 10p and 15p engines?
I believe so, yeah. I think the Half Moon is bigger on one than the other. I can't remember which way around. I only deal with TDIs, you see, proper engines.
Yeah.
You know that five-cylinder nonsense.
Yeah, but you drove mine and was like, oh,
I did. Nice. I have to say, it was very nice.
I do want to have a go in an L322. But I watched a YouTube video last night that would put you off owning one.
Okay.
And we're averaging, I don't know, what was he averaging? $3,000-$3,500 a year in maintenance?
In maintenance, yeah.
A specialist.
Yeah, that's a fair bit more than just having the oil and filter done, isn't it?
It was quite a needy car, but he loves it that much, he keeps forgiving it.
Yeah, well, that's sort of like what we touched on with Adam, wasn't it? With Disco 3 and 4, when you find a car that does, it fits your lifestyle and it does absolutely everything that you need it to do, it's quite easy to look past all the things that it throws your way because you just can't see yourself being without it.
I shouldn't have sat in that his L322 last week.
If you drive one, you're going to be in real trouble.
No, I literally sat in it and I was like, you know what? Because, you know, go back 6 months on this very podcast, I was like, you and the L322s, I just couldn't quite get my head around it. It was never been on my radar at all until now.
Their quality.
And then you, every day this week, you have sent me eBay ads.
Yeah, I've been firing many listings in your direction.
And our friend Ian said, oh, yeah, you're just trying to live your L322.
Live vicariously through you. Yeah, I am.
You're going to ruin me.
No.
Like financially.
No, Steve.
Potentially.
It will be peanuts to run compared to that two-seater sports car you're getting.
Do you know what, right? The drag's been gone 5 days and it's for sale but it's not on my drive
and it's
been really nice not having a third car
in
the way,
all that space.
Well, a fourth car, because one's in the garage, obviously the project, but
is the most middle class saying anyone's ever uttered.
No, it's not no, because none of my stuff stretches like thousands, is it? It's not, well, it is thousands, but not hundreds of thousands. It's not like I'm loaded. most people's cars, our neighbour's car is worth more than
I know what you mean. Yeah.
In reality, but 10 grand buys you so much L322.
It does. It really does. It
really does. And it's like, oh, if only you could, for a 100,000 mile car.
Yeah.
An autobiography. You showed me one yesterday, 10 or 11 grand. Yeah, it's on eBay now, actually.
Yeah.
In Bedford, I think there was one. I like the silver one more than the black one that you sent me.
See, silver's not my favourite colour for
but spec-wise, it looked, I don't know, it was something a bit nicer.
I've sent you so many that I can't.
You sent me a bit of a shed, actually.
Yeah, probably. I just see L322 and I said,
yeah, it
was
about 7 grand, 6995.
Was that the one that remapped and EGR and DPF?
I looked at the pictures, there was like bubbling paint, some rust, there's a hole in the tailgate.
Yeah, that is the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, I
think that's been a tow barge for someone because it's had some naughty emissions related modifications.
Like, I wouldn't touch that with a barge pole.
DPF's been smashed out with a hammer and the EGRs are blanked and
it was like no offers or something on the advert. It's like, well, you're not going to sell that car.
Yeah.
That's probably a 3 grand car.
I think you do need one though. Yeah, you do. I'll tell you what, you might have a different opinion because next week you are driving Discovery 5.
You say next week, it's this week.
Yeah. Oh, it is this week.
So when you listen to this, it would be last week.
Regardless of timings, yeah. Discovery 5.
35th anniversary Discovery 5.
Yeah.
For 4 days, I think.
Yeah, you'd be able to sample the fruits of the latest Land Rover crop.
Yeah, because basically, I haven't driven a modern Land Rover for quite some time.
Yeah.
The last one I drove, actually, any length of time, was a Velar.
Yeah.
Which was our old boss's one. Which was a company car. I've done quite a lot of miles on that, which was a 2 litre Ingenium.
Mm, thankfully still under warranty.
Well, the other warranty issue, actually, do you remember that squealing noise it kept making? And
no.
As it accelerated, it was like a kind of really high-pitched.
I never heard about this.
Yeah, it was an awful noise. So you need to get that investigated. And one dealership said, no, that's normal. So it's not. And then he went back and they said, actually, there is a problem. They fitted leather parts.
Oh, right.
I never heard about that.
Mm,
really high-pitched.
I have to say, I know we bang on about the Ingenium and we...
I wouldn't own a Velar. It didn't feel Land Rover enough for me.
I quite like the Velar, but
drive really lovely.
Yeah, I don't. I know what you mean. It's kind of a bit of a non-entity in my mind. It fits in a weird. It's between the Evoque and the Sport, and it's like I think you. Why would you not have one or the other of them? But
when I got in that L322.
You listen to you. Man, you always used to have a go at me. Oh, you talk about L322.
I speak about L322s more than you, but. It's all like loads of glass and deep windows, and it felt like a commanding driving position, if you will.
Yeah.
But you sit in a Velar.
Yes.
Sit on it.
They are kind of like a crossovery estate.
A big car.
Yeah.
They are like a fat car.
Yes.
Like an overweight car.
But you can't deny the.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The quality, the refinement, the. They have a great. Well, all Land Rover products do now. The. In-car entertainment's fantastic. They're a lovely thing. But I know what you mean. They don't feel quite characterful enough.
No.
In my mind at the moment, it's the new Defender. The L663 is the one that carries that baton, really, of character and DNA. The interior on that is far more sort of relatable, I suppose, to people who are used to older Land Rovers than anything else in the range.
So I haven't driven one of those for 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Stevie.
Yeah, that was only a 90 hardtop at that.
I'll have to speak sweetly to Land Rover and get one.
Well, we need to... Yeah, I want to, like...
I've got a Discovery 5 over Christmas. I'm looking forward to that.
Might be the same one.
D350. No, this is a black one.
Which colour am
I
guessing?
It's not 35th. I think 35th's a blue. I'll have to check.
Oh, okay. But, I imagined it to be black for some reason.
Oh, it might be. I'll double check. But
I had a brief look at the spec sheet of the 35th anniversary one.
I do. No, I'm pretty sure this isn't, but I do very much enjoy. My only gripe with them, and I think people listening who own or have used newer models will agree with me, is I just wish they had a bit more individuality. Like the Defender stands out to me because it's so different inside.
Oh, it's still a Defender, isn't it?
Although it's chunky dashboard and like all the exposed torques.
Love Land Rovers? then you'll love Land Rover Monthly, the world's best-selling Land Rover magazine. Packed with adventures, expert tips, restorations, buying guides, and loads more. For the best deals, subscribe today at landrovermonthly.co.uk and never miss an issue.
The exposed screw heads, and it does feel cool. It feels like it's different. Whereas everything else, the dashes all look really similar.
I think you see more Defenders now than most.
Yeah, you do.
Of products now around here, there seems to be loads.
Yeah. It's very, very popular. I remember when it first came out, maybe a year into it, it was a real treat to see one. You go, wow, that looks like Pangea Green or whatever.
What do you think Land Rover's plans are for the Discovery 5?
I don't know, because it's been in production.
It's been a long time.
It has. In fact, the design of it, Neil was talking to me about this the other day, actually. The actual, like, basic body design goes back to Discovery Vision, which was 2014. It hasn't...
11 years.
Like, at some point, yeah, they are going to have to bring out a new model. But what that will look like, I've no idea.
We've not even had any, like, scoops, have we? No one's done any... Normally, you get like the auto car.
Normally, just another auto car render, yeah.
But we haven't even seen one of those, so it's not even like in the talk.
Even if you did, you don't.
No, but no one's talking about it.
It's something that's crossed my mind. I must say, it is a question that that obviously JLR will answer at some point, but
in their time, not ours.
Yeah.
We're not gonna. Yeah, I mean, do you think there'll be a Discovery 6?
I hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah.
It's that very difficult situation where, as we've touched on before, probably Discovery 4 buyers saw the Discovery 5 and went,
Discovery 5, do they?
What?
Land Rover don't call it the Discovery
5. No, they call it New Discovery, but everyone else calls it Discovery 5. But they, for the, you know, similar money, they've gone for a Defender because it looks a bit chunkier, it's a bit more rugged, whatever. Discovery 5, it's not forgotten about, but it's not, you know, I think the majority of people went over to Defender. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, look at sales numbers.
Yeah, which are the two models they're going to make, I guess, more true to its origins, really. Make the Discovery more family / slightly more utility, or make the Defender even more hardcore and leave Range Rover as the pure luxury thing, or if they'll keep driving them all in the luxury direction.
They'll be driving him into the direction of profit.
Well, they are a business at the end of the day. They've got to make money, haven't they? But yeah, I really hope Discovery continues to thrive.
It deserves to thrive.
Yeah, because there's an awful lot of history there, and an awful lot of great memories that people will have had with various Discoveries, I'm sure, that they've owned over the years, myself included. But if you haven't already listened to it, in fact, we talked to Mike Sampson, who was designer of the Discovery, lots of elements of the Discovery 1. Go back to that episode. We also did Tim Shaw and Fuzz Townsend from Car SOS when they were doing the Discovery for the last season.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to them if you haven't already. Some really, really interesting insights from those guys. So check it out.
Very good. Yeah.
But yeah, time will tell, I suppose. But in the meantime, I will continue trying to prevent my engine from leaking and being excited about... the shows next year.
And I've worked out I need to buy some more spanners, it seems. Yeah. Just to get on to that. It's weird, isn't it? You know, like a simple job, you think it's going to be a 5-minute job, and you think, I can't even get on these nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those wings. I need to get them ready now.
You can never have
to. The painter is keen.
Is he?
Yeah.
You better crack on and get them.
Joe, we're running out of paint.
Are you going to have to buy more paint?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So I think I mentioned this last week, because I only had 4 litres of paint mixed, which should have done the entire thing, but... Yeah, I think we're going to need a couple more litres.
Can you not just ask him to put it on a bit thinner? So it goes further.
When you see the finish that we're obtaining, or he's obtaining from it.
The royal we.
Yeah, the we. Yeah, I've collected it and just paid him. It's it looks deep. The paint looks deep.
Yeah. No,
I'm pleased with it.
Good. It's going to look so good, honestly. I think all your...
I just spent yesterday bubble wrapping everything.
Yeah,
I bought nice. There's a place up the road that sells like massive like reels of rolls of bubble wrap. So I've wrapped it all. It's all very protective now.
Good. No, that sounds like the right.
So yeah, nightmare treading around new panels.
There's going to be some nail biting moments aligning that body, because we didn't do a dry fit. We've sort of gone straight in for paint, and then we're just going to have to go from there.
Yeah, it's not going to paint yet, because we're just having the bulkhead removal bar.
Yes.
Adjusted slightly.
Indeed, yes, indeed. But that'll be back soon.
Which will be back very, very soon. Then that goes to paint.
Mm.
Then it lit. Well, we've got a window of opportunity, because we just need to get the brake lines and the electrics in.
Yeah, there's not actually that much to do before the tub can go on properly.
Amazing,
which
is,
yeah,
the tub is like a significant part, and yet there's nothing underneath it.
Run the from the bulkhead back. There's stuff going on, but it's nowhere near as complex as your engine bay, your actual bulkhead. But yeah, we'll get that wiring loom fed through your chassis, and then get the brake pipes on, and then all full steam ahead, really.
Mm. But the more I'm seeing painted, the more I am loving my choice of colour.
Oh, I think you've made the right choice.
Because at first I was a bit shocked. Now I'm like properly excited by it. It really is starting to have a vision of what it's going to look like.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's, like I say, once it's backed with more galvanised stuff and the, you know, the choice of wheels and all that jazz, it will really come to life, I think. And yeah, it will look absolutely awesome. Would you like a quick feature of the week?
I would indeed, please.
This feature of the week is in the classic section, and it's really, really interesting. I absolutely loved reading this the first time I got my hands on it. Another stunner from Gary Pusey. This is about a chap, a very interesting chap called Don Hall, who was a test driver for Land Rover back in the day. He was basically responsible for heavy load towing and carrying with various different models, 110s, 90s, early Discovery. The J prototypes,
God.
Range Rovers, and basically he would be tasked with doing long distance road testing with a whole, like I say, the whole range of vehicles, and then he would give his feedback. For instance, a 110, he says it's got no top end, bloody rubbish, hard to select gears and far too noisy. Sounds a little bit like mine before I put the 200 in it. But
that 110, did it have a natural aspirated diesel?
I don't know. That was a quick quote I pulled out.
Yeah.
But no, really, really interesting. From 1989 through to 1997, he was test driving, doing various different trials and things across the Land Rover range. And yeah, he got up to quite some capers, as this story attests. So be sure to grab the winter issue, which is on sale now, and you can read all about Don Hall's exploits behind the wheels of all these different models.
That sounds really good, actually, because that's new to me. I haven't even seen the latest issue yet.
What can I say, Steve? Yeah, some of us have our fingers on the pulse, yeah, some of us don't.
Some of you do. Good job, really. Don't.
This is actually something, product of the week, that you should get your hands on for when we do all your wiring. It is braided heat shrink from Laser Tools and Connect Consumables. Keep all your nice new Auto Sparks wiring safe and chafe free and looking neat. It's basically like a, I don't know how to describe it really. It's like, yeah, it's braided. You know, like on factory wiring looms, it's all like that, yeah. Nice slippery braided plastic stuff that stops wiring rubbing on things and looks all fancy.
Well, I think my loom's already braided, isn't it?
I don't know. I haven't had them out of the box, have we?
Yeah.
But if it isn't, you should buy this from Connect Consumables.co.uk. Loads of different sizes, from 12mm to 80mm. And then you get a heat gun with it, so you can apply it, heat it up, it will shrink round, look all lovely and neat. Keep your engine bay in tip-top condition for £285.76. So head to connectconsumables.co.uk to check that out in a bit more detail. And that is product of the week.
That'd be handy for anyone doing wiring.
Absolutely.
Wiring in winches and
restoring, rebuilding, accessorising.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, on the face of it, £285 seems like quite a lot of money, but given the amount of stuff you get with it and you get a decent quality heat gun, really isn't that bad.
No, that's really, really cool, actually.
So, there we go.
Wiring's not one of those jobs I know anything about.
Well, you better get to know, because you've got a lot of wiring to do, my friend.
I thought you were going to.
Oh, did you? You noticing a theme here, listeners? Yeah,
basically, without you, I'm useless.
I need to have shares in this 90. Cause,
you do. No, what?
That'll be a conversation we'll have when we're not recording, probably. But
yeah.
As always, thanks ever so much for listening. We really enjoy your feedback, especially when we know we've
upset other halves.
People's other halves and neighbours. Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Yes. It is.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was going to say there. I was going to say something.
You started that sentence with conviction and then tailed off very quickly.
Yeah, no.
Follow Steve on Instagram. See how, look at, cast your eye over his beautifully painted panels. Steve Miller Automotive. Follow my leak-stopping journey on Instagram, at Land Rover Martin with underscores. Follow Land Rover Monthly on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. Don't forget to keep an eye out for all the event announcements for next year, because by crikey, we've got some great events planned, including the new Land Rover Fest.
Before we go...
Go on.
Just remember the key part of what we... We probably wrote this down, but haven't actually looked at it.
Go on, I'm listening.
We have a new subs offer.
Oh, how
Come
did
on
we
now.
Forget?
Yes. This is right. You got so excited about the new event.
I know.
We haven't spoken about the new subscription offer to the magazine.
Blinded by my own excitement.
This is a different in a different league.
So we were sat around a while ago, weren't we? And we thought to ourselves, what would we want with a subscription offer? And it turns out what we would want with a subscription offer is a limited edition model set with two very smart models from Oxford Diecast. Each one is numbered. They're that limited. You get one of these Land Rover Monthly branded model sets with each subscription you take out. Head to the website. It will be right there in your face. You can click on it or head to subscriptions on the subscriptions tab and check out all the deals that we've got on at the moment. But this one is really, really cool.
It is. It's Huey, the Series 1.
Yes.
And the last of the line...
Heritage Edition
90. And they're numbered, one of 250. And when they've gone, they've gone.
Yeah. And they're already going pretty quickly.
Yeah. So get in fast. And if you listen to this, you need to have ordered it by no later than the 29th of November for if you're buying it for a gift.
It would make
hint
the perfect Christmas present for the Land Rover enjoyer in your life.
So you've got the limited edition, and then you get the magazine for the next year.
Yeah,
so that's a perfect gift for somebody.
Straight to your door and at a fantastic price, if you don't mind me saying so.
It is a really good deal.
So, yeah, no, it's really cool. You've managed to blag one. I haven't actually got one yet.
Because, I haven't blagged one.
Yeah, you have.
This was the test mule one.
The demo one.
The demo one for all of the... yeah, I blagged it.
Right. Yeah, you blagged it. I was going to say, yeah. Yeah. I didn't hear any of that nonsense when I was looking at it on your mantelpiece.
So I have number 151 of 250.
Yeah.
Only temporarily. Someone could have it.
Really?
Okay. If they want that one.
We might have to take it out of your house and send it away if people are going to buy them as quickly as they're going already. But no, don't delay. If you want to get someone, a friend or relative, whatever.
Or yourself.
Or indeed yourself.
Treat yourself.
A fantastic Christmas present.
Mm.
Yeah, a whole year's worth of Land Rover Monthly magazine, which we obviously natter about on this podcast. And one of these very, very limited model sets. And they're really, really good, aren't they?
It's the sort of thing I would want to receive, definitely.
Well, obviously, because there's one in your house at the moment.
But no one bought me it.
No, you received it by cutting the box open and taking it.
I did not. This was, when I said a test meal, this is one we used for the photos of it for the website.
Right, okay. Yeah. Shop soiled. Anyway,
shop soiled one. It's got my fingerprints all over.
They're in high demand, all right? Yeah. So what we're saying is get your order in quickly, especially if you want to get it before Christmas. Head to landrovermonthly.co.uk, check it out.
Yeah, and that is it. I think we should go.
I think we should as well. Thanks ever so much for listening. As always, editorial at lrm.co.uk. If you want to ask a question or leave any feedback, please do leave a rating on your preferred streaming platform. It really means the world to us. We love it.
If you can see Martin's shirt, like, you'd give it a 1 out of 5 star. Just saying.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Bye for now.